magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, January 27th, 2017. Now, I'm going to make some announcements quickly, Jason, because on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, we were going to talk a little about the grand opening open house, and I was going to recount some of the God sightings. And thank you, God, I had Marion Offenstein and Dr. Z on Tuesday to do that, because I had told our listeners on Monday, well, when Jason comes in on Wednesday and Friday, we'll recap some of the God sightings, and you'll be able to share some of your experiences. And on Wednesday's edition, we got right into talking about stirring up trouble, or how we can get stirred up during these tumultuous times and different things. And then I never got to make some of my announcements about the wellness workshop that went on yesterday with a number of people coming out, and Dr. Z talking about breathing and balance and doing a wellness walk around the mall and some of the other things. So let me give you a couple quick updates, because we have all the links available at our website, greatnewsradio.org. But Huntley Brown is coming to town to the Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign on Sunday, February 19th at 7 p.m. And so we invite you to come out and enjoy that. It's hosted by Great News Radio, and Meadowbrook Church has been very accommodating to allow us to use their sanctuary, and they have a grand piano, and Huntley Brown requests it be in tune that very day. And he'll put on more than a show. He'll put on a great presentation that'll be an encouragement. And you can buy tickets at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Just click on the Huntley Brown link. And there's two options. There's the general open seating for $10. And then there's the special reserve seating, artist circle, meet and greet, a little reception beforehand with Huntley Brown, that you can secure for $25. And then the day of the concert, or if you haven't purchased your tickets online, it'll be $15 at the door. So $25 for artist circle, reserve seating up close and personal with a meet and greet reception with Huntley Brown for $25, $10 in advance, open seating, and then $15 at the door. And it's happening Sunday, February 19th at 7 p.m. at the Meadowbrook Church in Champaign, the Meadowbrook Community Church. Then coming up right here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square, Ivan Parker coming to town Saturday, June 10th, a 7 p.m. concert. All the same information, the special meet and greet, reserve seating, artist circle will be $25, and then $10 open seating, and then at the door it's $15, and that'll be happening here at Lincoln Square. And dependent on the number of you that purchase tickets, it'll be either in the food court area, or we'll do what we did with the big 20th anniversary celebration. If we get like 700 or so people, we'll have it in the north-south corridor, and we'll have great seating and a sound system, and it'll be a lovely time. Many of you have attended prior Ivan Parker concerts, and they will be joined by the Singing Men of GNN, so we'll be doing a number of selections together. And then finally, if you picked up one of our upcoming events at our grand opening open house, we'll continue with our wellness workshops. We're working on the next date, probably next Thursday again. We'll maybe try some different times, or maybe an evening session available. We had a lot of great feedback yesterday, and Dr. Z is ready and able to do some more of these, and so we'll put those together, and you can stop by our website and learn more about the future dates for wellness walks and wellness workshops and our wellness theme on Tuesdays. Hey, while I have you in the studio, Jason, you were a part of our grand opening open house, I know it was a week ago, and you and your family came out. It was kind of fun. I always love seeing Jacob carrying Samuel upside down and carrying him around, and they were budding together, and
welcome to our world.
But you got to see a number of the Great News Radio listeners and experience some of the things going on. Any impressions or lasting impressions from our grand opening open house?
I thought it was good. I thought that it's always good when you get folks to come out and you get folks to mingle amongst each other. I mean, some folks are maybe they wouldn't normally be in the same room together. So I think that's one of the really powerful things, is to look around and say, look at the diversity of people who are here. And then I also saw a number of folks who kind of just wandered into the mall and weren't really part of the celebration, but came in and got a slice of pizza and watched some of the musical performers. I saw Tom and Kelly McCowan. I saw Joey Kroll talking to them about their books and the different artwork. And so I saw Kathleen talking with a number of different people. So I think for me the biggest impression is just how awesome it is to see the body of Christ in action, how awesome it is to see it happening in the marketplace. I mean, I really love that. I mean, that's one of the things that I just walked away from and I said, you know, generally we would do this kind of thing in a church, or we would do this kind of thing in some other area, and it would just be us. It would just be those people who say we're Christian. And yet I love the fact that it was in this kind of area where people are walking through. People are can just walk in. It's not nobody has to have an invitation necessarily. So while it was good to see all the people that I knew, and there's so many different people I know who have you know, are part of the radio listening family, I loved it when I saw, I've never seen that person before.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I know there was one person when, I think it was when Kelly McCowan, or maybe it was when Tammy Renee was performing. And I just kind of stopped and I said, oh, hey, how are you doing? And they said, oh, we were just walking by and we just saw this and we wanted to sit down and hear what this, you know, what they were singing about.
Yeah.
And so I really love that kind of thing, because that to me seems a lot like how Jesus did ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. It seems a whole lot like how Jesus would drop himself into these situations that, you know, where anything, number one, anything could happen and anyone could happen upon it. And so God providentially kind of using those situations to bring many to understand who Jesus is, to worship him and to love him. And so that was probably one of my bigger impressions, because there was even a moment where we were in by the food. And I think I was talking to Jenny about the pizza. She was serving it out. And a young man came in and he was like, what's going on here? And somebody said, oh, this is the grand opening. And he said, oh, can I have a slice of pizza?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, oh, sure, have a slice of pizza, you know. And then all of a sudden he had some chips on his plate and he had a piece of cake. And, I mean, people were just loving him. And I thought, this is great, because he just happened upon this. And he's being embraced by the body of Christ. And maybe, yeah, for some people, maybe this is the first time they've met a bunch of Christians. And you know, and they could say, you know, well, I don't know what you think about Christians, but I know when I met some Christians, they gave me cake and pizza and chips, and they were singing, and it seemed like a great time.
Now, I don't know if this was the individual, because Jenny got to share and witness to a few people, but there was a gentleman that then came back later on, and then I think the next day, and Jenny worked both days, volunteered both days, and actually worked really hard both days.
Okay.
But she said he returned the second time with a lot of questions, like spiritual questions.
Mm.
Do you believe in, like, life after death? And kind of those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
that he was a seeker.
Yeah.
And that, again, has been echoed over and over again. People come by now, what's a Christian radio station? What does that mean? And I know one time you were in here with me recently, and it looked like a person that was maybe unemployed or something came up here and said, now, is this a church?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I wonder why he would think that. And I was thinking, well, maybe because the front sign that says, God listens, you can too. But he came in and he was asking a couple quick questions and looked like he could use a friend. And, you know, it's kind of neat how the Lord has us strategically, if you will, positioned right here where there will be a lot of walk-ins or people kind of, what's going on here? And then with the different events or the future wellness walks, I continually want to promote that with the community, because there's people that walk here and get Christians walking alongside doing their Fruit of the Spirit walk, or, you know, our Psalm 23 walk. I know Dr. Z has a number of different walks, and, you know, these people might be exposed maybe to making Christian friends as they're walking together.
Yeah, you just never know. I mean, one of the hallmarks of the early church, you know, well, not even just the early church, but also the Puritan movement, was that people in the cities and towns would walk by and they would hear the preaching happening inside of the church,
mm-hmm.
and they would draw them in. And many times it would draw them in and then draw them into salvation. And so whenever you put something like this in the marketplace, you're putting it in the way of sinners.
Right.
And so isn't that beautiful? This past weekend I had preached a message out of Mark chapter 2. And it's a passage that I think maybe, I don't know if people preach it a lot. I really don't know and pay attention to that. But, you know, it was really challenging as I was reading the first couple chapters of Mark on my sabbatical. And the kind of company that Jesus keeps, because I think that we idealize who Jesus hangs around with. And I think we almost kind of mislead ourselves to believe that Jesus just hangs around with Christians. He just likes Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we look at the first chapter of Mark, I mean, the first people Jesus hangs around with is four unemployed fishermen. I mean, he comes upon Simon and Andrew and he says, come follow me. And they drop their nets and immediately they follow him. Then he goes down and he sees, you know, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he says, come follow me, and they drop their nets, and immediately they followed him. And then he goes and he heals a leper, and the leper begins to preach and share who Jesus is. And then he heals a paralytic, and the paralytic jumps up and begins to tell everybody who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And so when we look early in the ministry of Jesus, he calls four unemployed fishermen, a leper, and a paralytic. He has these people who become kind of the cornerstone of some of the ministry that he's doing. And these are not people who society would openly right. accept. And then to add kind of to that, then he comes in Mark chapter 2 and 13, he calls a tax collector.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the worst of the worst.
I joked on Sunday morning when I said this, but I said, wasn't it the Beatles who sang that song, you know, about the tax man? You know, if you take a walk, I'll tax your feet. If you like to sit, I'll tax your seat. Nobody likes the tax man. When it comes to books and that, what do we have? We have the Sheriff of Nottingham. We always have this greedy kind of malicious tax man. And one of the interesting things about the Roman taxation system is I told people, I said, whoever designed it was both a genius and absolutely wicked, because the whole thing was geared towards corruption. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you would be, as a tax collector, you'd be more successful the more corrupt you chose to be. And so then you've got this person who's fueled by corruption, not to mention they're Jewish. The tax collectors were all Jewish. And so the thing was is that you were seen by your fellow countrymen as being a traitor, as somebody who oppressed them. I mean, tax collectors were hated people. They were absolutely hated. And so society kind of said, no way, we want nothing to do with you. There's extra biblical accounts where tax collectors were also kicked out of the synagogue routinely. They weren't allowed to go to church.
And they partly derived their pay or their salary by charging extra taxes.
Well, that was it. I mean, so Rome had a set. Rome said, every month we need this amount of money. And whatever the tax collector wanted to charge over and above that, he was allowed to do. Now, Rome, because tax collectors were so hated, Rome offered protection to the tax collectors. Yeah. And so what would happen is you'd roll into town and you'd have these Roman soldiers with you to protect you, but they would also help you. So the Roman guards would say, you know, you want me to beat these people? What do you want me to do over here? We'll do. And you charge whatever, give them a little cut of it. So it was in your best interest as a tax collector to be wicked, to be immoral, and to just do whatever it took. And so you have this guy, Levi, the tax collector, and it says that he went out again. Jesus went out. Where do you go out from the house with the paralytic? It says, beside the sea, and all the crowds were coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi. So this guy that nobody liked, nobody wanted anything to do with, nobody cared about, Jesus cares about, and Jesus notices him. It says Jesus sees him. And it says, he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. I love that. He just says, follow me, the mm-hmm. Hebrew, lekakarai, follow me. He doesn't ask Levi if Levi wants to serve. He doesn't ask Levi if you clean up your act, you know, and I think you got some gifts, I'd really like to use you in the kingdom, you know, let's just get you in a little Bible study, No, he just says, follow me, get up. He makes that call upon Levi's heart, and it said, immediately Levi rose. I love Luke adds and says he left everything, which means that Levi suddenly saw Jesus as more important than anything else. He desired Jesus more than anything else, that he left everything to come mm-hmm. and to be with Jesus. And then it says, right after that, because when you meet Jesus, what should be what's the natural thing that happens when we meet Jesus? We tell our friends about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so what happens immediately after this is that Levi throws a huge party and invites all his friends. Now, when the Bible says that Levi invited his friends, everybody hated him. So the only people who could possibly like him were fellow tax collectors. Yeah. Now, we know it's tax collectors and sinners because that the Pharisees show up, and that's what they say. Look at the Jesus dines with tax collectors and sinners. But what's awesome is Luke tells us that he threw a great banquet. Now, Levi could not have thrown a great banquet unless he had a great big house. And so this is telling us just how miraculous and powerful his conversion was. Because when he left everything, he was not leaving little something. He was leaving a lot of something. And so Levi suddenly leaves all those things so he can follow Jesus. And the first thing he does is he invites Jesus to a party with all of his friends so all of his friends can meet Jesus. And it says Many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he, being Jesus, eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Mm-hmm. And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners," and Luke adds, "to repentance." Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is Jesus comes to this party. Now, when Jesus comes and he hangs around with sinners at this party, let's just be clear. Jesus isn't legitimizing sin. Jesus isn't being sinful. Jesus isn't telling them their sin is okay. But what Jesus is doing is coming amongst sinners, loving them to death and loving them towards the cross, loving them towards God, which is amazing. That's what we're called to do, friends. We're called to love sinners. By the way, the Bible tells us that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Mm-hmm. And I've run into quite a few people who don't quite like that. And I have to remind them, if you don't like that Jesus is a friend of sinners, then your problem is with Jesus, because Jesus is a friend of sinners.
And they can recognize, and you and I need to recognize, we are those sinners.
Of course. Here's the deal. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short." That means the invitation, the qualification to meet with Jesus, the qualification to be a part of this kingdom, is to simply be a sinner who repents and desires nothing more than the Savior. That's the qualifications. The qualifications isn't you get yourself cleaned up, and when you get yourself cleaned up enough, you get to come to the kingdom. The qualification is that you are a sinner. I mean, it reminds me of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee stood at a distance and said, you know, "Oh, Lord, good thing I'm not like the adulterer or the extortioner or even that tax collector. I tithe, 10% of everything I have." And then what does it say? The tax collector stood at a distance and beat his breast and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." That's the qualification, not your righteousness. Look at anybody can have righteousness. But no, it's about beating your breast and declaring and asking God to be merciful. And so Jesus, he speaks by way of an analogy and an authority. He says, "There are those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And then he says, in his authority, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And what's interesting is the Pharisees here. What Jesus does is he says something that's true. He says, "Look, do the physicians come to the people who aren't sick?" And the Pharisees had to have said, "Well, no. I mean, why would the doctor come if the people aren't sick?" And by the way, the Pharisees diagnosed this thing rightly, didn't they? They said he eats with sinners and tax collectors. So the Pharisees said there are sick people in this room that Jesus is dining with. And Jesus is saying, what Jesus does in that moment is he uncovers their cold and callous hearts. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you think that they're sick, if you think they're in need of a physician, then why do you have such a problem that they're sitting with the great physician, mm-hmm. the only one who can heal the problem at hand? And I'm just telling you, I think that Jesus has no time for spiritual elitist people who want to say who's in and who's out. And we have a lot of that happening in our world right now, where people are pointing fingers and saying, "Well, those people over there, those sinners, those people are no good." You're right, they're no good, just like you're not. And all of us need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us need that. And what this whole passage just really made me think about and keeps making me think about is how important it is that we get around those sinners and those tax collectors, that we get around those people who don't know who Jesus is, and we don't legitimize their sin, we don't participate in their sin, we don't tell them their sin is okay. But what we do is we try to be a light in a dark place and show them that there is a better way, and that there is this person whom they don't know about, who in all of their sin and all the things they're seeking can save them from all of that, because he is the longing of their hearts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I read this story about Levi, and I think how many Levi's out there, and even in relationship to the grand opening, I think how many Levi's passed by. You know, and our job in that moment as Christians is really to say, "Follow me,
right.
Follow me." And what we're really saying is follow him.
Right.
Follow him.
Pointing out Jesus.
Yeah, pointing out Jesus to them. And listen, what a great moment, you know, on that Friday night when we were here, and there's people who don't know who Jesus is, and they're just kind of happening by, and they get a piece of pizza, and they sit down, and suddenly you got a bunch of Jesus people dining with the tax collectors and the sinners. And there's always going to be one person who's going to say, "But don't you know?" And it's our job to say, listen, if they're sick, then they came to the right place.
Right.
I mean, shouldn't that be what we're known for?
May that be one of the indications of us being effective here, is that people are coming and then they're in fact hearing about Jesus. We're not just feeding them the pizza, that they'll get testified to of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know an individual that testified to following the Lord Jesus Christ, and we both knew fairly well, was Dan White.
Yeah.
And our hearts go out to Cindy and the family, as Dan's homecoming was the other day, and actually tonight, now realizing this re-airs in the evening, but there's a visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. today at the Vineyard Church, and then tomorrow his homegoing service, his memorial service, will be at 11 a.m. at the Vineyard Church. And so that's Dan White, formerly from around the Monticello area for many years, and then they lived in Mahomet, and then moved it a couple different times, but come on out and be supportive of Cindy and the family. And Dan had gone to Israel with us a number of times. I know we were reminiscing about a few of the experiences we had with Dan and Cindy. They were made for each other. And married for
Dan was always the roommate of Larry.
Yeah.
And I think they
outsnored each other.
I think they always had a good time.
Yeah. So that's 4 to 7 p.m. tonight, and then also tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Vineyard Church, a memorial service for Dan White. Well, dear listening friend, it's Friday, which means the weekend is upon us, and we sure hope and pray you'll find yourself fellowshipping with other like-minded believers at a local church that celebrates the Lord Jesus Christ, that preaches his inerrant word, and will encourage you and fortify you in your faith journey. So we pray that you'll find a church. I know of a couple great ones in our area, one in Mahomet, the Community Evangelical Free Church. I know Pastor Herb at the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church. Gosh, you could say Randy Bolton House at this church, or Pastor Grogan at this church. There's a lot of great pastors that love the Lord, want to teach and preach and help you on your faith journey. So be in church, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night. You all stop.